This evening to Psalm 8, and for those young people in the front, if you'll give me one of those, I'll show you the page number. Maybe Brother Mendez can help me with that. Can you find a page number for them? Psalm 8. It is the book of Psalms, plural, but it is the individual psalm that we look at tonight. It's not Psalms 8, it's just Psalm 8. That's really neither here nor there, but it's a true way of saying that. And Psalm 8 is a psalm of praise. God's worthy of praise. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, what about situations? Situations are a lot different than God. God's worthy of praise. And he performs in a way that makes him worthy for praise. And that's what this psalm is about. It's what he has done. So Psalm 8, it begins and ends with a phrase that you see there in verse 1. He says, O Lord, and then he says, our Lord. Aren't you glad he's not just a God, but he's our God? Amen? He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And he says there at the end in verse 9, the very same thing. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is the name in all the earth. And I know there's a song that goes with this that we sing sometimes. But that is the focus of the psalm. I was reading Psalm 20 yesterday. It was a comfort to me. And Psalm 20 talks about in verse 1 that in the day of trouble, the name of God, the name of the God of Jacob, shall defend us. And there again, think of the things God has done for folks in the Bible. He's not finished yet. Amen? Amen. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read this psalm. And we'll just look at the reason God's name is excellent. Why is God's name excellent? But let's read the psalm first. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that you are a God that deserves praise, not just because of your works in the earth, but because of your works in our life. Lord, we realize that Satan is strong and that the adversary is wicked and that his attacks are very, very real. We know that personally. But Lord, tonight, I just pray that we could focus on your goodness and we would see you do miracles in our church, in our lives, in our situations, just as we look around us and we see the miracles you've done in the earth. Pray that you'd protect us tonight and give us a good time in the Word of God. Keep our mind and heart stayed on you and not on anything else. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I think about creation. The emphasis in the psalm obviously discusses quite a lot about the things in the earth. And don't you think that when people stand before God that deny that he's the creator, that they're going to stand before him in a moment, they're going to realize how foolish they were? The people that advertise that that there is no God and that evolution is real. These young people sitting here in the front row, I want you to know something. They are now being lied to in school, unless they're going to a school like ours. Because what happens is the teachers are telling them that, X billion years ago, that something fascinating happened that no one quite understands, and now here we are. Folks, the reason here we are is because God created us. Amen? Right. Amen? And when you look at God's creation, at the way, the miraculous way he assembled the world, it is something that we learned in Bible Institute this year is called general revelation. How can you know there's a God. How can the person out in the backwoods of some foreign country where there's no church, how can they know there's a God? We look up at the stars. We look at the creation and we can see there's a God in the creation. Amen? And you look at the way God created us, at our hand, at our eyes, at our immune system, if you study such things. You look at, we were studying science in high school this year, and all the little nuances, things like how light works or how the human ear is designed. It's astounding how wonderful God's creation is. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I haven't got to convince you that there's a good creator God, but he is. Amen? And that's one of the things the psalm emphasizes. He begins in verse 1 talking about God's position. He says, "How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens." As wonderful as the heavens are, and as magnificent as the creation is, God's even greater than that. Think about this. God created the world in 6 literal days. That's an amazing thing. If he can create the world in 6 literal days, then think of what he can do preparing a mansion for us for 2,000 years. Amen? Now, I have mentioned this to you before, but some people may not have heard this, and that is when God created the world, he created it with age. All right, here we go real quick. Someone says, "Oh, the stars are billions of years old. How can the light get here?" Or, you know, those kinds of things. They argue about the age of the earth, and they talk about the bones and all those kind of things. And I want you to know something. If you had taken Adam to the doctor on Monday morning after the creation week and asked the doctor, "How old is Adam?" the doctor would have said, "I don't know, he's 25 years old," or whatever. He would have seemed to have been many, many years old because he was an adult, wasn't he? How old was Adam on the eighth day? Which day did God create man on? But it wasn't even a week yet, was it? So God created things with age. Someone says we disprove creation with age. No, God created things with age. And he's a God that can do that. Amen? But his glory is greater than his creation. Then the Bible talks about God's possessions. His name, his glory. He talks about his enemies, the strength over his enemies. He talks about things like fingers and hands in verse 3. He says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies." Isn't it interesting that the college professor with all of his education and all of his instruction isn't wise enough to believe in a God, but that these young people are? Amen? You say, who knows more about God? The college professor that teaches evolution or Andrew? Huh? Amen. Or Joey, yeah. And let me talk, okay, guys? But isn't that amazing how God can reveal himself to people that seemingly have nothing? The Bible says that God has made the things that the world calls foolish. He's made those special. So we don't have to be wise. We have a wise God. We don't have to be strong. We have a strong God. We don't have to be protecting ourselves. We have a protecting God. And think of the things that God has done. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he has used children literally to declare the truth. And one day the enemy and the avenger will understand the strength of God. He says in verse 3, the psalmist writes, and he says, "When I consider the heavens," now he's going back to the end of verse 1 or verse 1 there, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Now, let me help you understand the question. As big as God is, why does he care about us as small as we are? Isn't that amazing? You think about the moon. How many days did it take them to get to the moon, traveling tens of thousands of miles an hour, and they took off out of Earth orbit, and it took them days to get to the moon, and it was so far away, and that's just the finger of God that does those kind of things. Amen? How big do you think God really is? A God that can say, "Let there be light," and there's light. I can't do that. You can't even begin to do that. A God that can speak and create all of creation. That's how powerful God's word is. I would not want to defy that God. Amen. And so he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the stars, I don't know how far away the moon is, but think of how far away the stars are. And God put them all up there. Amen. Amen. And, you know, the scientists have yet to be able to come close to counting them. And God knows how many there are. And they say, well, those stars are way out there. Well, God can reach that far, can't he? If God can reach that far, can God take care of us?
Amen.
Amen? I know that the young people here, and what a blessing it is to have a good group of young people. They look at the world and they see. I like to listen to children pray. I love to listen to my granddaughter. She was praying just now. She made a little prayer list, and she was praying off the prayer list. And I listened to her prayers, and they're very sincere. It's very important for little children, for young adults, young children, to understand God answers their prayer and takes care of them. Amen? What do you say? Takes care of them from what? From anything. And he can take care of them quite well. Out of the mouths of babes. So anyway, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him in verse 4? And the son of man that thou visitest him. And what is the answer to that question? Why would God do that? Because he loves us. Now why he loves us, that I have a hard time understanding. Why would God send his son to die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, as wicked as we are? I spent a lot of time on the phone today talking to pastors, and I talked to this one pastor, and he commented about that, and just the fact that it's miraculous that God cares for us like he does, and how he loves us and how he protects us. And it's a blessing to know that we have a God like that. He is mindful of us. He sent his son to die for us. He loves us. Now, that's why God's name is great. So it's his position makes him great. His possessions make him great. His practices, his creation, his care for men, his visitation of man. Of course, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for man and what he's given man. Verse 6, it says, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Now, it's one thing for God to create it, but then he gave us charge of it, didn't he? And a lot of folks are worried about how well we take care of the world. God's going to take care of the world, amen? I'm not promoting rampant, unchecked pollution, but I am telling you this. The reason the seas stay in their bounds, the Bible says, is because God keeps them there. And these folks worried about global warming need to worry about a day coming when it's going to get really hot. And the Bible says God's going to melt the entire world with fervent heat. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, talking about man. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, follow this. Hebrews talks about this. That is a statement that is irrefutable. God put all things under man's feet, right? Okay, so where does that take us? Why did Jesus have to become a man? There's two or three good reasons. One of them is this. He had to become a man because men can die. And he had to die for our sins. But the man, Jesus Christ, is one day going to be over all things. He already is positionally, but one day in practice as well. There's not going to be one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have dominion over. And folks, he loves us, and he's going to share that inheritance with us. Amen? All right, real quick, and we'll be done here. Look at the last couple of verses. He says, he's just continuing the sentence there in verse 6, all the sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. So all these things that God has created, that he has put them under man's subordination is the word I've written down here in my notes. And then he finishes with this thought once again, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What is the name of God? You ever look at that? Now, we know Jesus Christ. We know that name. And the word Jesus talks about Jehovah saves. The word Christ means the anointed one. He's the Messiah. But then there are the Jehovah appellatives. We spent, I think it was an entire lesson in Bible Institute talking about the names of God on Sunday afternoon this year. And I remember as I was going through that, I hadn't done it in a while. It's really a blessing. You ought to do it sometime. But what is God's name to you? Now, I'm going to just mention something here that was a worry to me last week. I rode the bus, and I hear people say, oh, my And you know the next word, what's going to be. They take God's name in vain. I want to help these young people a little bit to understand that. Folks, God's name is more valuable than to just take in vain. Amen? In fact, the Bible says not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Even when I hear somebody, and I know we don't do it maliciously maybe, but somebody says, my word. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the word? Amen? Don't take God's name in vain. God's name is special. Think about the model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, and then the prayer pauses and says, hallowed be thy name. You might remember that when the scribes were copying the Hebrew manuscript of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Masoretic scribes, which were somewhere between 500 and 1000 AD, these men would copy the Bible. And every time in the Old Testament they came to the proper name of God, the four-letter name of God, they would stop and take a bath before they wrote that name. And there's a couple of places in the Old Testament where that name appears. One, right after, must have been some really clean scribes on those days. Amen? Folks, God takes his name seriously. It's the name of the Lord. I need to understand more about that. But I know this. In the name of the Lord, there is safety. Amen? In the name of the Lord, there is salvation. In the name of the Lord, there is hope. And I would appreciate it if we would all help our young people not to take God's name in vain. I think that's an indicator first of all, it's a commandment not to do that. Indicator of the fact that they're not paying attention to what God wants them to do. Aren't you glad we have a good God? Amen? I just would appreciate it if the Lord would allow that we could understand a little bit more about how good he is and let us see that in reality. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.